This project was produced by Belong Aotearoa with the support from the J.R. Mackenzie Trust and Planet FM. The series is an exploration of the employment journey for people of migrant and former refugee background in Aotearoa. It features conversations with people of lived experience and experts who share with us their stories and their own perspectives.
Marina, welcome to Pass the Mic. I'm your host, Shebnam Nisha, and with me in studio is our producer, Gina Gonzalez. I'd like to welcome our guest who is joining us online, all the way from Wellington, Kodrian Yishai, the founder of Voice of Aroha. Welcome to the show, Kodrian.
Thank you. How are you, Fano? How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. Now we'll get right into it. When you were a little kid, Kodrian, what did you want to be when you grew up?
What a question to start. I'm bringing you back a lot of years ago. Okay. I really wanted to be, you know, what's the word in English? Astronaut? You know, the one who got to the space and onto the moon.
Astronaut.
Yes. So that was my dream. The reason for that, because we used to sleep on a, you know, the surface of the house in the Middle East, it's more like straight, not like, you know, like here in New Zealand. So counting the stars in the sky in the summer, so that was kind of something. I said, one day I want to travel there. I want to see what's out there, you know, with my brothers.
Wow, an astronaut.
Yeah.
Well, there's still time out there for you, Kodrian.
Yes, it is.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from and how did you get to New Zealand?
Yes, right. So originally I come from a place, we call it like Mesopotamia or Assyria or Middle East of today, and specifically Iraq today. And I come from a community called Assyrian community. We are the indigenous people of Middle East, of Mesopotamia. And now we become minority through many things that's happening to the community. So that's my originally where I come from. And how I ended up here to New Zealand, I joined my family in a process of reunification as a refugee. Yeah. So that was 2018 when I reunited with my family here. Now, Wellington, it's home to me.
That's wonderful. And just out of curiosity, what languages do you speak?
So I speak four languages. So my mother tongue is the Assyrian. And then the other one who like I studied and very well on it is the Kurdish. And then Arabic. And English is my fourth language.
That's amazing. What an array of languages you have under your belt. What is Voice of Aroha and how did it get started?
So Voice of Aroha, it's established in 2019. And this is something I have a personal touch with it, but then also the other people who joined me to develop this beautiful initiative that we had that is growing today. So the personal experience out of it, because when I arrived to the country here, speaking the four languages and ticking all the boxes, that even I had a experience working in the sector in my home country, everything was ready. But the one question was facing to us, you do not have New Zealand experience. And it was just a few months, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to speak everything. So what was the reason? When you say to you do not have experience, New Zealand experience, and when you try to knock the doors to give you the chance to prove them the experience, that doors was closed. So this was very hard when I was seeing this. Then I also realized my uncle, my others who came before me, the community have a kind of the norms. They were supporting each other. Oh, you have to go to other low jobs. With all respect, jobs is a job. But my uncle have been pushed to be a cleaner later, but while he was a teacher, my other brother who was economic certificate, he also pushed to be in a kind of same cleaner sector, which is again, just noting people, their job is a job and they love their job now. But the question, the moral of the story, community become in that space that you guys are not enough because of your language, because not experience, so you have to do the other jobs. Well, I come from a background, I was a top in my university. I was a top in students' education and things was my passion, my things to do. And I was thinking this, all these years has just gone like that. So this was something hard to me. So from this experience and the challenges we faced, in employment sector here, so we come up with an idea when the time come about creating our platforms to share our stories, so to change the narrative that is surrounded by refugee background people. So that's how Voice of Aroha in summary come up to it.
That's amazing. And after hearing all the stories, what do you think is the biggest issue that migrants face?
Okay, look, so there's stages that migrants go through. When they arrive, that's the biggest issues about validating their experience on the skills that they have. They really face a challenge because New Zealand is still conservative in terms of, just trusting someone who came there and give them the work. We are even very conservative that don't even give them opportunity to try, opportunity to test. Let's find out if these guys are really is what they're saying or their skills or not. So the first challenge we face as a migrant in general is the knowing the door. Then the other things is related. They tell you, give us a reference. Well, at the first stage, I'm already facing challenge to find a job. So how I can create someone employer so they can give me a reference for the next job and etc. So people do not get this, how hard it is for the first job to be find out. And there's other issues definitely face when they get the first job or the other jobs as well. But it's having the opportunity, I think that's the could be one of the biggest issues.
Why do you think this is different from the experience of Kiwis?
I think it's all about the ignorance. It's not about the people. The problem is not that, like we say, oh, because they are Kiwis, they don't want this. It's about what they know about us, how much they know about us, what they've been told about us, who told them about our stories. Because the Kiwi employers, the only things they may see those kind of articles in the media, they will always show, for instance, in a refugee case, they will show them those people that in a camp. So this is the picture that has been built on their mind. They don't think about the outside. Actually, those people, they had the skills and other things before they become ended up in that camp. Then they will make the decision based on that kind of narrative they've been fed in the media. And then from that one, the people think, oh, once they hear it, once they see it in your CV or from certain countries, for instance, Iraq, they will think, oh, these guys, I don't know if I say this or not, they will say he's a terrorist. But this is the narrative that people don't get it. This is what we face it without talking, without even chance to meet me. They will straight away get the judgment on that base of that world of coming from. That's why it's been hard to see a migrant have opportunity to express themselves, to tell their story by themselves, to show to the employer, hey man, or hey people, I am actually have skills in this and that. Just don't judge me from paper or judge me from the name, because some of them, they don't really pronounce that name. They say, oh, it's too long or it's too something. So see, this is the difference between us while we have someone else in the Kiwi, their name is John or something. That's easier for them. They say, oh, let's not spend the time to things. But they miss a lot, They miss a lot, the skills, the other things that migrants in general bring to this country.
Does this impact the experience for refugees once they are already in employment?
Okay, I think it impacts a lot because we have to go back and understand why these people come here the first place. If you're talking specifically about refugee, there was no choice. It's either surviving, this is coming, run away from a country, has been a conflict or a war or other issues that are impacting their lives. Then how it's impacting them, these people, once they settle, they spend enough years, enough times here and there. Once they settle in the last country, which is, let's say, new last destination, they have a big hopes and dreams to achieve. They have that kind of energy to give back, to feel this is home, so I can build my dreams. This is somewhere I can now call it home. Build my family safely, no hearing the bombs, the sounds, so I can walk for a better future. When then you face this kind of challenges facing an employment, which is basic rights that anyone can need to not have issues. When I say here, we are talking about issues that face it in a different level. We are not talking about the competition, because first the opportunity not been given to compete. Because when we have issues about, okay, we will not accept them because of the skin, of the color, of the names, of the things, this is what we are talking about facing those communities. So it impacts them into the psychologically, into the ways of adjusting and, you know, going, growing up in the country. It's really make a big impact.
Do you think there are resources available for, you know, migrants and refugees who are navigating employment in Aotearoa?
There may be not, I think. This really depends how much people will know about those resources, how they will know about it, right? If there will be another resources there, but how they will know about that, right? It's, we are missing like a key access to those information.
So what are the resources you wish people going through these issues could access at the moment?
I think first they need to know like, okay, who are the people can help me when I come just arrived here? Then I don't know who to be my reference. Or I to know someone who will actually help me with drafting my CV to fit New Zealand culture or New Zealand style, because most of CVs come from different countries, different ways of writing them, and or actually how to express, bring their skills into the things they have, because a lot of people, they have a great skills, but we don't call it customer service. We just do it because it's nature part of these people. So we need that kind of support of organization somewhere, say, hey, guys, go have here, they have you like a check to help you build that kind of paper side of it. And the second support will be also, will be really cool if like we have something like a network of employer, network of organizations who can support us newly arrived refugee or migrants to visualize their skills and things. So employers can have a trust so they can build, because those organizations probably, let's say like you guys, are there doing support. It's good because organizations like you have been there for many years and been there for understanding, support. It would be good for employer also to come through these kind of organizations. But I think the resources available for them, it must be in also finding way how to access, how to make sure that these communities are aware that, hey, we have support here, come along and we can support you to at least start a new journey.
That's right. Where do you think are the gaps in the system that we can recognize today?
There is a gaps started from immigration when they say, like, you know, we need these kind of skills and things, and they don't invest first on the people they already have here. They don't invest on the refugees, for instance, who already come with a residence visa, with already come with the kind of taking all these things that you don't need extra headaches around that. So you, there's a lot of skills there. Why you don't invest from that? This is one gap there. Then the other gaps, it's also about lack of awareness for the employer side, the skills and the things that migrant in general bring with them. So I think that need to be pushed more, that, hey, to not judge with the papers, you know, all the experience that I just shared with you in the beginning. We need to solve that, move on, that, hey, we have great people, just give them a chance. Let's build a bridge. Let's find out the cool things that they bring with them.
Okay, and now let's go to the other side. What does it take for these communities to adjust to employment once they've secured a job?
Okay, I think it's a great question, but the answer for it will be a little bit hard maybe or not. Let's see how it go, but let me answer you by this way, that look, through the experience that I've been through Voice of Aroha and other stories that the people we met, we have heard a lot of stories about people who've been in the work and the issues that they face them. That's the next challenge. Once some of them get the opportunity to work, there will be issues like the employers, they are scared from the new idea, scared from the new way of working. But the employer is scared because he's saying that this refugee migrant are actually putting more extra ideas at working, is afraid from those ideas. And it's happening. It just saw people that have been pushed in a way to next way to kick them out from the job just because they kind of bring insecurity for some of the managers or some of them. The reason, because again, when I say it, employers as a refugee migrant, once they get their jobs, they bring their energy, they bring their connection, they bring their traditions into the work. Sometimes what is needed here to adjust, I think is a both way. The both way when I say this is to understand the way that how it will make this employee happy and great working to the new environment. So the employer is be, okay, understanding, okay, you guys come from this kind of culture. What is important really to you? How you guys celebrate this? And then understanding like simple tips, their biggest day, So that can be also communicated well in advance, that you know, okay, I have this certain events for me is important. I may take a leave in these days. I may practice some tradition here and there, you know. So this is what we just a great communication between employer and things. And then we'll also need the employer understand, okay, teach them, okay, what is exactly the working style in New Zealand? So we need to, they need to give them that support and training at the beginning. And a lot of them, they don't get that support from beginning. So only they will start getting the things when this issue start happening inside of the job or the workplace. So let me say what exactly specific example. Like many of us don't know our entitlement of many things that are happening. What is our entitlement if I go have and buying, let's say, a coffee? Is it starting that it will be costed in my expenses or as a work? They don't tell us if the managers and others, you know. So this is something we don't know until when we start getting understanding later on, and oh, wait, these guys actually, when they go for those meetings, they charge for this and that, while we're just doing it for kindness and other things. But again, I think it started because of the employer do not really share or fully train them for the expectation and how things will work. They wait until things happen or they ask. Sometimes we will not ask because we didn't really have this kind of rules in my country.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything employers could do to avoid these experiences for migrant and former refugee employees?
Yes. The best way, I think, is building with a good intention, ways of communication, understanding each other. It would be so cool. Like, okay, look, KiwiWise really love morning teas, right? It's a cool way. Yeah. And I come here, this is really cool. Like, you spend the time to have a catch up. Use that to understand your team. Use that to build a relationship with your team members to understand how the way they work. You ask them, is it your morning time, your evening time? You adjust for that. Just simple. It's at the end of the day, we are humans. You know, you want to target a goal of someone and want to work in the evening, someone really want to pick their kids at 3 or something. Just don't make like life, you know, so hard. So use those times. You're also enjoying the coffee and things to understand the culture. Hey, do you have another coffee or something? That actually build the trust and making 10x impact on employee when they feel belong to the workplace, when they feel belong to the space. This will boost their energy and their contribution to the any workplace.
That is awesome. I can resonate with that because coming from a migrant background myself, I actually found that very welcoming when I went to my new workplace. So I can resonate with that. That's awesome. I wish the employers listening out there will take that on board. Yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. That's the why we are doing this podcast.
How would these changes benefit the employers themselves?
Okay, here's the things. If employers, you know, there is two goals. Let's talk about, let's say, those organizations working on refugee migrants. If I really want to deliver my service successfully, I want to get involved with the people who have this lived experience so they can advise, they improve the service we are delivering. If this get improved, then the service will become bigger. The achieving, the outcomes and everything can become bigger. Why not the employer would that? If it's in a let's say commercial or business way as well, a lot of opportunities come by having different people come from different places. They speak different language and cultures. They introduce new ways of dealing, working, and although sometimes it happens to connect you with the new market. So I mean, the advantage is huge. At the end of the day, everything we do right now, if either you want it or not, the things you go to Pack and Save, to anywhere, those things come from somewhere else. They come from our background countries, come from India, China, all of these things. So why not? When we have all that resource of humans and people here, why we make all these barriers to not try to include them in a workplace to make their life better and also make the life and the work of organizations 10 times better?
How would Aotearoa look like if former refugees and migrants were given the honest chance to contribute to the employment sector?
Oh, definitely we will pass this inflation so easy. You let me.
Yeah.
We'll be 10x more. Look, let's be real. All the other countries, like most Western countries, have been built by migrants who built America? Yes. This is just so simple like this. If we've been, because we come from places, you know, we value opportunity when someone's give to us. And when you give me that opportunity in a new country, imagine the we are talking about the journeys that we come from, I will give everything because this is will be my home that I can produce. This is the place where it's feeding me. This is the place where I'm living now and building the future of my children and others so I can feel safe. So, of course, Aotearoa will be in much, much better place if the opportunity being given to us much more, you know.
Now, moving forward, what would you like to see different in the future?
I think see difference. Look, we have to mention that the Kiwi culture is really cool. It's really beautiful. Once they start, you make know them and they know you. What we want to see, it's a little bit of empathy. Keep the way that's how we have our, you know, New Zealand has been famous. Like, okay, New Zealand is the cleanest air in the world. And kind of we love that kind of style of being top 10 and stuff like that. Let's be top 10 in everything. Why not if also improving our diversity and our workspaces? Let's be proud on those as well and keep that momentum of uniqueness. Even the people say, oh, we're just a small island. Yeah, at least we are, let's say, we are achieving top 10s on this. I think if we do transfer that into our life, into workspace, it'll be just amazing. So that's how I imagine New Zealand to be. Whatever the worlds do, I know we are connected, but I think let's be our uniqueness about how we are. Let's say, you know, even climate, look at this. We are doing better than others, but they will say you're a small country, but at least we'll give them example the way that we can do it. So someone somehow will change the other countries to come on board one day. So let's keep it that way, not impacted by some other crazy policies around there and here kicking out some migrants. So we don't want to get there, you know. We need to keep our uniqueness as Aotearoa, as New Zealand.
Okay, now we're moving towards the end of the interview. Are there any Voice of Aroha projects you would like people to hear about that you've got coming up?
I think what I will ask if you are listening, first, hope you're enjoying this conversation and try to meet a migrant refugee and have a conversation coffee. You will see what I'm saying or what we're saying during this series of podcasts could be something you will test it by real life. And in terms of Voice of Aroha, if you follow in our social media's YouTube channel, will be something great for us. We see your support because they may also hear more other conversations we do. Projects we are doing, climate action, things for refugee migrant sector. That is something we've been want to create more leaders in our communities to be involved because an issue of today and the future, which is right now, it's the future. The other things is coming up is more we are having some community stories, so we will make highlights of some cultures in New Zealand. So if anyone interested, they can keep an eye on the channels when we release those community stories. Yeah, that's all. But really, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Not a worry. Is there anything else you would like to say to any new migrants and refugees in New Zealand right now before we wrap up for today?
Yes. So my, or let's say the advice, but could be encouragement for them, do not give up. If one door did not open, one day one door will be open. Just do not stop. Please keep going, volunteering, opportunities. You never know. Send that 100 emails to whoever. You may get one reply. Never give up and keep going. And one day you will be the name in the media as they will say, whoa, he's a great athlete. He's a great something. He's a proud Kiwi. You will get that by keep going. So that's my message. And thank you. Appreciate this time with me, guys. I'm really enjoying this podcast.
Awesome. That is amazing. And that brings us to the end of our Pass the Mic podcast episode. Thank you very much for joining us today, Cordrian. It has been an awesome time sharing this space with you. We wish you a wonderful day ahead.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great one. Ka kite.
Thank you. And thank you to all listening in. And with that, we are out. Ngā mihi, ka kite anō. That was our Pass the Mic episode. Check out the rest of our season dedicated to the employment experience of migrants and former refugees. Share your favorite episodes and subscribe to our channel. If you haven't already, go back to our first Pass the Mic series, which highlights a range of ethnic experiences in Aotearoa. Our employment season is a collaboration between Belong Aotearoa, Foundation North, and Planet FM with assistance from Voice of Aroha. You can find the link to these organizations in the bio.
Konnichiwa.
Bonjour.
Kia ora.
Planet FM.
diversity. On air, online, on demand. With funding support through New Zealand On Air.
Got your mind set on leaving to a house down a one-way street. You say you're gonna lock all of the doors. You're gonna throw away the key. But don't go down the bridge, darling. You just might want to come back. Cause the grass ain't no green on the other side of the track. You counted me out before I could get to bed. All the day I'm driving a Chevrolet. Tomorrow might be driving a Cadillac. Oh, but don't burn down the bridge, babe. You just might want to come back. Cause the grass ain't no green on the other side of the track. Now listen. Seem like you're gonna jump from the frying pan to the fire. Oh, but don't burn down the bridge, babe. You just might want to come back.